Okay, thank you.
I'm sure we'll get a
wrong
start.
I don't know. We'll see how that works out. And I'm still a little nasal, so it's been a long time. I've been sick for a while. Yeah. You know, I didn't ask him that, but anyway, this is going. This is the end of the third week. I feel good. Feel better. I feel like 90%.
Wait a minute, you were 95 last week.
I feel a little bit lower. I think how that worked, you know, you're supposed to rest. Anyway. All right, Romans chapter 1. We left off at verse 20. Let me get the recording started here. Oh, this is already going. Chapter 1, verse 20. Paul says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now, we've been going over God's wrath, why he's just in revealing his wrath, or telling us that he will reveal his wrath. And we're getting up to verse 20, so let's open up in prayer as we go forward. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the time we spend in your word. We pray that our eyes might be enlightened, that our inner man might be strengthened, and that your son might be glorified as we study. We thank you for all those who are here. Lord, open our hearts and minds that we might receive the word with a ready mind, and that we would search the scriptures to see whether these things be so. We once again thank you for this time. We thank you for all those here, for those who may have wanted to be here but couldn't make it. And we just thank you for your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen. So God says, Paul writes in verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them." And we talked about this last week, that God, when being a just God, he is always right if he decides to punish man. So in all the times where he has revealed his wrath, there's always a message that comes before his judgment. He just doesn't show up and just start exterminating people. They always know why. And they always know that it's their fault. It's not because he's unjust. It's not because he's unrighteous. It's because God has, and we'll find out, the whole purpose of Romans, or any of Paul's epistles, or any scripture for that matter, is to get man on the same page as God. That is, you were created for a purpose, man. And it wasn't for football and baseball and singing or whatever our secondary job is. I said baseball, he smiled, didn't he? It's to worship and serve the Creator in whatever capacity that he wants. So when man does not do that, God is okay with that. No, he's not okay with that. That's why he could say that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of mankind who hold the truth in what?
Unrighteousness.
He says, you know what I want. You know why you're here. You pretend you don't, but you know why I'm here. You know why I'm here. When you look at man, we are supreme. There's no other creation like us other than angels, but that's one of the reasons why you're here. But he says, you know why you're here, because I revealed it to you. He says, and you hold that truth in what?
Unrighteousness.
That means you know I'm supposed to worship and serve the Creator. But you take that truth and put it in your back pocket. You only pull it out when you want something. You say, well, Lord, I'm in trouble. Then you know him. And he said, what about what I want? We were in class Thursday, and the lady says, you know, that's fine about Abraham and David. But what about me? What about me today? How does this fit me today? You know, now let me translate that to man talk. I know you say that you want to understand scripture for me today, but let me tell what she's really asking is this: what am I going to get out of this? That's the question, really. It's not what God wants. When they ask the question, what about me today? They're asking,
what's in it for me?
Right. They're asking, what do I get? In particular, they're thinking of material things. Not y'all. I'm saying that was the question that's the question that came up. Because when, if I say this, I tell you what God wants, he wants your whole heart, soul, and mind dedicated to him. You're on board now, right? You're on board now, right? You want to do that, right? She shook her head, yes. How many, when he says, listen, what you watch, I want it to be about me. What you read, I want it to be about me. What you listen to, I want it to be about me. Where you spend your time, I want it to be about me. You still on board? That's what he means when he says you hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He says, you could see the invisible things of me from the creation. He says, even what invisible things? My eternal power and Godhead. And we talked about that. We woke up this morning. Anybody use their alarm clock? You thought it was a clock, didn't you? You thought it was a clock that woke you up, right? If you thought it was a clock too, right? You know how, if somebody's dead, do you think the clock's going to wake them up?
No.
As a matter of fact, if you sleep hard enough, you won't hear it, the clock. That means there's something else that's sustaining you. Not the Timex. It's God in whom we live and move and have our being. He wakes us up. And the process is so complex. It's on autopilot. You don't have anything to do with it. I'm breathing and I'm talking right now. And I'm moving my arms. And I'm thinking. And I don't have to do it. You know what they said? You can't talk and chew gum at the same time? Yeah, you can. You can talk, chew gum, and do some other things too. Because that's what God put in us. He made a process in man, and it's the systems that keep us going. He says, you know that I deserve some worship and service from you. You know that. Your mind, who gave you the mind? Even though it's flawed and fallen, a fallen mind, it's still superb to any other mammal or any other creature. He says, God had made man upright and was righteous, but he has sought out many devices. That is, you can think of a lot of things that are not godly. And God says, that's not the intention. He says, my eternal power in Godhead is shown. Not just in you waking up. If you look out there, you can see it. If it were not for his power and Godhead upholding all things, we would either freeze or burn up. This earth would not be habitable. But his wisdom is what made us, and I don't even know what this show is, the third rock from the sun. I know the show, but I'm assuming that I don't know what it was about, but it's something about that third planet that there's life on it. On this one planet. And if it doesn't spin just right, there would be no more life on that planet. And they say, it just happened. It was over time, and things happened, and this happened, and this got together, and that moved, and this happened, and bam, there it is. Really? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So you know. You're trying to explain something that you already know the answer to. You're trying to explain it away. Because you're holding, like God said, the truth in unrighteousness. See, if I admit that yes, God did it, then you have to admit that he wants you. See, that's where the rub is. Because if he wants you, that means I can't do what I want to do. How old are you? 15? 14. See, if I tell him now, Mike, at 14, God wants you to give your life to him. 14? What is he thinking about? God? Is he thinking about serving God for the rest of his life? How old are you? 16. He might be. He might be. See, you know what, Jennifer? That's the exception.
Yeah, it's not the
God says, I want that to be the rule. Yeah. 16, 14? Now, I'm not saying this to put them down, but I would put my money on it. How old are you?
15.
I would put my money on it that's not what they're thinking about. Parents right here. You think that's what they're thinking about? Okay. They got a better idea than I do.
I don't think most of us in here do every minute of the day.
Yeah, exactly. See, and God says, let's be honest. God says, let's be honest. You're holding the truth in unrighteousness. You don't want to do it, do you? That's what he's laying the ground in Romans, for all have sinned. And you have to admit, you know what? You're right. You're right. You're right, God. I don't really want to do what you want to do. And you're right if you punish me. That's what he says. The wrath of God is revealed. And he's giving it to you. That's what Paul gives it to you in the gospel. He says, listen, I don't want this to catch you by surprise, but God's going to get you. So you won't say, well, why? What did I do? He says, nothing. That's part of the problem. But when Paul said that, he says, it's not just us. It's because our parents were like that. Because their parents were like that. And their parents were like that. But when you get back to it, the parents were like that. You got it. You got it honest. And God knows that. That's why he finds a way for you to get out of it.
But first, you've got to admit we're in it, right?
But first you have to admit, right, that I'm in it. That's why he says, listen, my judgment is true. Because you're holding it in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known is manifest. You notice he says, he didn't say to them. I know sometimes, but he said it's manifest in them.
There is only one way, the truth, the way, and the life.
There's only, it's he says it's in you. Let me get back. You know, our relationships are built this way. I'm not going to get too far into this yet. We're male. You're created male and female, right? They're created male and female. And God, he did it. He did it in his wisdom. It's symbolic. That's why when we start going through Romans, you're going to see when they refuse to retain God in their knowledge, then he gives them up to their own mind, their own intellect, their own emotions, their own feelings. And then you don't know how far away you'll go when he lets you go. So you begin to fool with the foundational things. What do you mean, foundational things? Is the very reason he created man and woman. You have people, you know, you have the dynamic of the marriage relationship, right? Where you can't live with them, can't live without them, right? So, but God is, he says, you know what? It could be right. Because it's symbolic of something. Of you and me. Or when I say you and me, the Lord says that's symbolic of you and me. That's why you go over in Ephesians and he says, look, you love her like I love you. And he'll say to her, look, you reverence him like it's me. See, if you really want to worship and serve him, guess what you'll do? You get a divorce.
Oh.
No, see? You will, what did you say, Mary?
Honor yourself.
You will, because you know that it's what? It's really because it's what I want, what he wants. Okay, so I see I don't like that. I'm moving on, though. He says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Well, you see, that's what happened. Their foolish heart was darkened. If you walk away from the light, you walk it into what?
Darkness.
He said the light was in you. And you think about the past where God has always, like I said, revealed his judgment against whomever. Whether it started with, if it started with Adam, he told him what was going to happen. Didn't he? We still feel the effects of that now. It's proof that God was right. He tells Noah, same thing. We know what happened, right? We can still feel he gave Noah a judgment. Did he just, the flood, sneak up on those people? He gave him time, what, to respond, didn't he? Same with Abraham. Like, when Lot was in Sodom and God wanted to get Sodom out of there, and he went in there, and he says, shall I keep the thing?
Shall I what?
Shall I keep this thing from Abraham? Seeing that he is my friend. He says, I'm going to get Sodom. And he's naturally thinking about Lot, his nephew. And he says, well, would you destroy the city for 50? Then he says, 40? He says, well, don't get mad, God, but 30? What does Abraham know?
That God is righteous.
Well, that he's righteous. But what else does he know? He said, he knows that Lot's there, but he says, God, what about 20? One, two. Then he says, I know I'm pushing it, God, but what about 10? That's haggling, right? And he says, God says, okay, for 10. So he's, you know what? He couldn't find 10 people. How many came out of Sodom?
Lot.
Who said that? 3. Lot and what?
2 daughters.
And they didn't want to go. But God, you know what? He says, the whole city's unrighteous. He says, but I'm going to give you a chance. And who's ever in there, I'm going to give him a chance. He knew, Abraham knew it wasn't 50 people in there. He knew it wasn't 40 people in there. He did know it was one person in there. But he stopped at 10 for a reason. Moses, same way. The nation. He put him in the land. Right? He says, can you do all I want to do? They say yes. We know that's wrong, right? But he says, why did they get put out of the land? Anybody know? Why God put them out of the
unbelief.
Land? Unbelief. Well, that's true. They went in unbelief, but this, he says, give him one thing. He says, tell you what, just keep the Sabbath day. I know you don't think about me every day, but what about one day? Can you think about me one day out of the week? One day out of the week, just set it aside for me to think about me. You said, sure, we can do that, God. 7 day comes, what do? What they want to do. Remember the manna when the God told them this, well, on the 6th day, get twice as much because the 7th day it won't be out there. So naturally, the God loving people that they are, on the 7th day, they're out there picking up the manna. So God's not surprised if he tells them to keep the Sabbath when they are in the land, when they didn't do it, when they were in the wilderness. It's not catching them by surprise. So they broke the Sabbath. We talked about it. They broke the Sabbath 1 year. Five years.
70.
They broke the Sabbath 10 years. How many Sabbaths would I have to break before you got upset with me? If it was me and you. This is me and you. One. One, right? That's I might get a stretch, you know. I say, Lisa, I'll be there on Saturday. You said you didn't show up Saturday. Oh, I'm sorry, you know, something happened. Next week, hey Lisa. How many of those I'm gonna get out of you?
Two, maybe three.
But you know what? Like God says, you know what you got out of me? You got 70. Not 70 days. 70 years. You got 70 years out of that. So don't ask me what God said. Don't ask me when I put you out of the land. What happened? Why is he upset? So we live in grace, in the dispensation of grace. What we get away with daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. And God says, do you think you're going to get away? Do you think you got an excuse? This is my grace that I'm giving you a chance. And that's what Paul is writing in Romans. Listen, he's giving you a chance for what? To keep doing it?
To hold the truth in righteousness.
To hold the truth in righteousness. Which is what? I'm giving you a chance to hold the truth in righteousness. What does that look like? I'm giving you a chance, you, to worship and serve me. Who you were before, you were not fit to do it. He says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things. What do you notice about that? That list.
Deuteronomy 4.
Okay, right. It's the creations, right? Huh?
It's below us.
Who said that? It's below us, right? How far below us, Jennifer? How far below us did they go?
Way down.
All the way to the snakes.
Look, he says, look. He says, that's a,
okay.
I know.
Bird?
Thank you. Okay. But you're I can do better than this, but it's this is just a.
Yeah, I'm gonna say snake too.
Is that a tick?
It could be a tick. It could be a tick. Yes. So, look. He put man there. First, he looked up, and he can see sun, moon, stars. And God told him, that's what in Deuteronomy, he says, listen. He says, when you look out there, he says, I don't want you to be driven to worship them. If God says that, what does he know?
He knows that that is a distinct possibility.
So you leave, you say, listen, Mia, don't get on that phone after 10 o'clock. What do you already know? Okay, 9, well, whatever the time is. You already know what? She on the phone. He says, "Nah." What did they do? You see that? Tower of Babel. That's, you know, it says that the tops may reach the heavens. They weren't trying to build a tower up to heaven. They were smarter than that. That is, they were building a tower that was worshiping the host. That's idolatry.
Would those things be a representation of
Satan too? What? Oh, the sun, moon, the stars, and
the birds, and the beasts, and the tick.
Well, today, Deuteronomy 4 lists all those things, and it's the Baphomet statue.
That's let me say, since you asked that question.
Sorry, maybe it's not question time.
No, it's always question. Okay. It's always question time.
Okay.
What are these animals symbolize anyway? Or she said, huh?
Creation.
So Lori says, could that be Satan? Did he create anything?
No.
But what he did say is that I want to be like that. Right? Why did God create all these things? For us. Who said? Somebody going to say something else?
Just for our enjoyment.
So that's when he put the man in the garden. He says, look, this is all yours. This is yours. You have dominion over all those. You know what he's telling Adam? What do you think he's telling Adam? He said, look, all these is yours. You name them. What do you think he's telling them?
You're at
the top of the pyramid. Give me another term.
King.
Go higher.
Potentate.
go to the word that you're scared to use.
God.
He said, look, you in my likeness, my image. Look. You have dominion. You have rule whatever you name them, that's what it is. Now go get them. And all of a sudden, but well, like you were saying, this is this. That's a bad throne. That's a throne. That look better?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you have a creation here. Man lion, thank you. Lion. You get it. I just
eagle.
Yes. They're not in the right area, but you get it.
Pictionary.
We would not win, would we? Actually, I would do better than this if we were doing Pictionary. So he used these things are over the throne of God. Why? It's symbolic of them worshiping him as their creator, given his context as the creator.
That the creation worships him.
That, not the other way around. So what Satan says, listen, if I want to throw a monkey wrench in this, which I do, then I'll get what? I can get him instead of giving glory to who is due, they give it to them. So here's a man who's the top of the top of the pyramid, and when he forgets who he is, he says, okay, he looks at that, and that's not good enough. Because the light is out now. Then he goes down and he says, well, maybe it looks like you. And that's not good enough. And he says, well, I'll make it like a bird. Oh, four-footed beasts. Oh, creeping things. Now, he says, you know what? He's out. Down goes Frazier. He's out. He's just his spiritual light is out. So then he says he worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. He changed the glory of God, the glory of the uncorruptible God, into an image. Back to the into an image. Well, it's going to tell you. I don't have to read it. He said, go into an image made like unto corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore? God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. What's the truth of God? They changed the truth of God into a lie. And let me finish the verse. And worshipped and served the what? Creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. He says, He gave them up through uncleanness of their what? Lust of what? Their imaginations?
Their own
hearts. So it's not, look, God says, I want your heart, what? Thinking about me. And when you stop thinking about him, you start, you know what, you stop thinking about him for one day, the second day is not so bad. If you get 2 days in, the third day is no problem. the third day, then the fourth, fifth day is not even a question.
And that's what Lucifer did.
I will exalt myself. But, so he's getting man, like Jesse said, he says, I'm getting him to give up his position. He says, if I can get him, then what he was created for will never get done. What was he created for?
For
what?
God's plan.
What is that?
Worship and serve God.
Don't be scared. Reconciliation. That's the only reason he put the man there, because he's reconciling the world to himself. Hence the reproduction of godly
people.
Godly people.
Hey, Frank, before you start to raise this up, go back to the Tower of Babel. Of course, they were not trying to reach that, you said, but there were different layers in the Tower of Babel. So tell me what these layers, what you were saying before.
I just said that they put that tower there as it's an idolatrous worship.
Yeah, but what were the layers for? You were saying something about the layers.
No.
I thought you were saying the layers.
No, they didn't build it literally to get heaven. They were trying to bring the heavens.
I did not understand what you said about the Tower of Babel.
But that's it. They set that up as a form of idolatry.
Wasn't that kind of like a one world religion?
That's, yeah. You know what? That's, okay. So God comes down. Like they begin to worship. Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, the Tower of Babel was put there to confuse languages and all that. I understand that.
So Noah gets off the ark, right?
Wait.
And Noah gets off the ark, and this is a bad. Anybody know what the Pangaea is?
Original continent.
Original continent. It was one solid mass, right? So Noah gets off the ark, and in the days of the flood, what happened? It was split up. So you know how it looks now? That's how it looks now. It didn't used to look like that. So if you separate it, just picture the map in your mind. So they get off, and he says, okay, some go that way, some go that way, some go that way. Well, sons. And you look at Genesis 9:10, they begin to disperse. So they go.
And to begot.
And to begot, or to multiply, right? So they begin to do this, right? Multiply. And why? God, he separates them for a reason. He tells them, he says, that I separated them according to the sons of Jacob. That is, who? The
12
sons. Now, you don't make, you have to go through and get that separation, but he says, they're out there. That's 12, right? We just pretend that those are nations, land masses out there. So God separates them. So for a reason.
Subdue the earth.
10. Okay, so the if I'm against that, whatever God did this, whatever he did it for, if I'm against that, if I'm the anti-God or the instead of God, what would I do?
Pull them all together.
So they come all together. He says, they said, let us make a name for us. Lest we be what?
Scattered.
So they do that. And they says, well, we already forgot God, so that's not even a question. So what do we do?
Worship.
we do what we did before. We worship and serve the creature. So so when they take all these things in their vain imagination, I like where we used to talk about this, we used to joke about this when you start talking to people, is if you know he has a hang up, you don't go looking for his
idol.
You don't go right in on the idol. Because he's like Micaiah. If you take my idol, what do I have left? Well, you have the one true God left. He is not ready for that. So God comes down and he does what? He scatters them. He scatters them. What you should have been doing in the first place. So they scatter them and they are all in these areas. Acts 17. See, either way you look at this, you're going to come back to one thing. Is God has always wanted man to worship and serve him. And he has made, because his plan is already done, he has made it possible in every dispensation for us to get back to him. If you want to. So if you don't, and when it's all, the reason there's a lake of fire is because even with all the opportunities, there's still going to be some
that reject
the offer in every age.
Most.
Huh? It certainly is. Okay, Acts 17, he says, verse 24. So Paul's in Athens and he's talking to the Athenians about the unknown God whom they ignorantly worship. He says, I want to tell you about him so you can do it right for once. He says, God, 24, who, that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelling not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. Watch it. All faces of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed. And the what?
Bounds of their habitation.
That they may
seek the Lord
and feel after him and
find
him, though he be not
far
from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. He says, he hath determined before the bounds of their habitation, and the times, he said, the times, see that? He said, he had determined for the times of what? I'm sorry, no, not that time. But back here, he says he had determined for the times before appointed. You remember in Genesis, he said that the sun, the moon, and the stars are for times and for seasons and for days. Say it again.
Appointment.
appointments. See, next week, Sunday at 11,
we'll be here.
We'll be here.
And the seven feasts in Israel.
So they have feast days that, like Karen pointed out, but that's just for one nation. That's for one nation, because that nation was
his nation,
his son. You know, he told Israel, "He's my
firstborn
son."
So
this is what happens, where God has—he's got this separation here. Say this for you to chew on this. Do you notice after? I say that for next time. That's too much involved. Okay. All right. I'm like way over time right now. So, let me erase some of this. So when they, when they go out from Babel, what do you think they take with them?
Their idols.
Yeah, whatever that looks like. You know what? Over here, it pops up. You know what? Sorry. It pops up. I got some. It pops up the things that are opposing Christ today. And you wonder what it is. They'll say, well, this was before Christianity. Of course it was. Because their original light was a long time ago too. But he says, now, you think about this. The gospel is in North America today. I'm saying that just because it's prevalent here. But it was, you know what? It was in Asia, Africa, Europe, before it hit North America. And you think that's an accident? One thing about work, you know, God says this when he was talking to Job. He says, can you bring forth Maseroth in his seasons? Of course we can't. We don't even know what that is, do we? Well, Maseroth, what's that? Constellations. He says, can you bring forth Maseroth in the seasons? Do you know? See, it's more than you picking up the horoscope and saying, what's going to happen for Leo today? You're going to have a great day. It's more than that. See, they just took that. That's a counterfeit and a bad representation of it. But when the Maseroth, where Paul, the writer of Hebrews, I don't believe Paul wrote Hebrews, but for the record, for you can say, I just slipped it out. He says in Hebrews, the writer says in Hebrews, that through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that the things that are, I'm paraphrasing the best I can. So the things that appear are the things that are not from the things that do appear. Okay. He's talking about the ages. Just like the seasons change because of the progression and the precession of the earth, that changes history. Those things are reflective of things that happen in history. Okay, let me say this, because this is not a 1-hour deal. In Revelation, God says this. He says, okay, every year there's going to be, there's a tree that bears manna, every year it bears 12 manner of fruit. Every month of fruit. See, you're thinking, that's impossible. You're thinking that the same tree that bears 12 manner of fruit? With you, yes, that's impossible. And he says this. Okay, Revelation 20. Okay, 22. I hope you're right.
Yep, this point too.
Where is? Oh, okay. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, 22:1, proceeding out of the throne of the Lamb of God, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. What does that sound like?
Original point.
Okay. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, in this, that's the revelation. That's the end of all those things. In Zechariah, it says this, that in that day shall men, ten men, take hold of the him that is a Jew and said, let us go with you. Because we have heard that God is with you. Go where?
To Jerusalem.
Go to Jerusalem. And he said, in that day, he says, God's going to make it, he's going to make a highway available for them to come up. And let's see. This is going to be the last verse if I can find it. That's I don't know. Zechariah.
Zechariah, I'm sorry. 8:20 is what you were quoting.
That's quote. I'll leave that since it's quoted because we're running way over. Zechariah. Zechariah 14. Okay, 14:16. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left, this is after the battle of Armageddon, where all the nations get together, and that's a final statement of that we never wanted to be your image, and we're going to prove it right now. So, he's after he beats them. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And in the family of Egypt, and if the family of Egypt go not up, and if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, and that have no rain, and if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be a plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses, holiness unto the Lord. And the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. Yea, and every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And they and all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them and see therein. And in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. I just read all that because I didn't want to stop that. But every year, he says, this is your time to come up and pay homage to the King, the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem. Second month is your time. Third month, it's your nation's time. You talk about NATO, that's it. He says, every one of you, and the one that don't come up,
right.
That's a terror. That's what. That's the. That's the.
Plague.
Yeah. I was thinking of. That's the tariffs. We give tariffs today.
Yeah.
He said, this one work. This one will work. No rain. He's
no rain, no heat.
So every year, they come up. Year to year. And the nation that doesn't come up, they're all going to have representatives of that nation coming up to worship. Remember where Solomon was in rain? And year to year, those nations came up to Solomon. He was a type of Christ. They came up to Solomon, even the queen, and when the queen of Sheba came up, she said, wow, they didn't tell me about this. Egypt, all the gold of Egypt, and when she gets to Jerusalem, he's got more gold than her. And he said, wow. She says, wow. So, you know what? That's that. So when little Jacob has his vision, and he says, all y'all brothers serving me, and the mother and the father. And they says, whoa, wait a minute now. You went a little too far with this. He didn't know what that was. He's just he's just part of the plan. All right, we'll stop because I will keep going on. So, but the point is, when man gave God up, he gave up a great opportunity to worship and serve the Creator. So, what Paul is getting down is a way for us today to get back to Him, to be able to worship and serve Him today. And what that looks like. So he'll go through 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So you'll know how to worship him. And then 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, you get a little service. What that looks like. And so when Paul goes through his epistles, they all build on, like I said, from babe to a mature man. The mature man. Oh, okay. So anyway, that's what that is. And don't worry. I know that might have been a bit much, but don't worry about that. If you don't get anything else, today is your day to worship and serve Him. Not today, like Sunday, but today is your opportunity to trust Him. And to be able, as you increase in knowledge, to worship and serve Him the way He wants. So I'm trusting that everyone here has trusted Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection, that He died for us, He was buried, rose again. That's salvation. That's free. And then He says, now, once you're in the family, if you trust in My Son, He says, it's for a reason. I would like for you, if you want to, if you have time, to serve Me. But that's between, just like salvation is between you and him, the service is also. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spent in it. We thank you for each member here and the body that's represented. Strengthen us according to our needs in the multitude of words. We just pray that your message of grace will come out. Lord, to work in us as you have revealed the word, that it might prick our hearts and cause us to want to know you. We again thank you for this time, and we thank you above all for your Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself in his in our stead. We just thank you for the privilege and opportunity to speak on his behalf. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay.
Thank you, Frank.